Once upon a time, Gotham City was a cesspool of crime and corruption, where gangsters and madmen ran afoul of the law, and decent people lived in fear. That is, until a force for justice appeared in the leather-winged guise of Batman. Eventually, he saw the need for a partner in crime fighting, a squire who would help him in his caped crusade. Thus was born Robin. Together, they served as an ever-vigilant reminder to the Gotham underworld that no criminal was safe as long as the dynamic duo was on the job.
Do you, Chris, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you promise to barrage her with obscure facts concerning comics, movies, TV shows, and toys?
I do.
And Cindy, do you take this man-child to be your lawfully wedded husband? Do you promise to humor him by engaging him in his obsessive ramblings, for better or worse, in pre-crisis or in post?
Sure, why not?
Then by the power invested in me by the High Father of the Fourth World, I now pronounce you Supermates. You may podcast with the bride.
Hello and welcome to episode 44 of Supermates, the Husband and Wife Geekcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Andrew.
Yes, we have our son Andrew back again today because he basically threatened me if he didn't get to record on this one.
That's right. Gotta do Robin.
That's right. So this episode we're going to celebrate... Barely, we almost didn't make it, the 75th anniversary of Robin the Boy Wonder. I had planned on covering Robin a while back, and our buddies the Leylands did a heck of a two-part episode, which actually was kind of some of the comics I was going to talk about. Thanks, Andy. No, I'm just kidding. They were great.
As always.
And so that just made me think harder. It's like, well, you know, they did those, so what can we do? But, you know, other things came up. But, so, you know, the second to the last episode of the year, we're going to celebrate Robin's 75th anniversary. Robin debuted in Detective Comics number 38, April 1940, which probably everybody that's listening to this knows. But he was created to give Batman someone to talk to and to soften the character somewhat because as even then, the company we now know as DC Comics was starting to develop the squeaky clean image they would maintain for decades, and which, of course, they don't have anymore. The violent and sometimes murderous Batman who had existed for nearly a year prior would have to go to be replaced by a big brother to a younger hero that Bob Kane, Bill Finger, and Jerry Robinson hoped readers would identify with. I can say personally that I identified with Robin as a kid. I've long vacillated between which one was my favorite, Batman or Robin, or more specifically, Batman or Dick Grayson, be he Robin or Nightwing or even Batman at times. Okay, you say Dick Grayson.
Any day.
Okay. Robin detractors often say that they didn't want to be Batman's sidekick. They wanted to be Batman. But I think they missed the point. Even if you didn't want to be Robin, you could relate to Robin. Even before Batman was portrayed as the infallible Bat God, he was rarely flappable, he was always prepared, and if he wasn't quite as obsessed as he is nowadays, he was fairly driven in his crusade against crime. Robin had the same motivation as Batman, the murder of his parents, but didn't have all the baggage. Because he was raised by Batman and in later continuities Alfred, and given an outlet for his emotional damage at an early age, he just came out as a more well-rounded person. So Robin was our surrogate in one way or another. He, you know, from the laughing young daredevil character find of 1940 to the wholly exclamating, fist-punching yes-man of Burt Ward, we could relate to this young boy, teen man out on these fantastic adventures. So even though I've read more Batman comics without Robin than with, the TV show, the Super Friends, the Migos, the Superpowers, they all inform my belief that Batman needs Robin. It's like peanut butter without jelly. They're good on their own, but together they are great.
I like peanut butter better than with jelly.
You are not helping.
You're not helping.
I'm just saying.
You're not helping make my point. This is why, despite its slide into camp, the ending of Batman Forever still gives me goosebumps where they run out together in front of the bat signal. I still get all goosebumpy, Betsy.
I know.
But there have been many Robins besides Dick Grayson and various variations on Dick Grayson. In addition to those variations, we have seen two versions of Jason Todd, Carrie Kelly, Tim Drake, Stephanie Brown, and Damian Wayne don the red vest of the boy or girl wonder. So rather than look at the origins of the various Robins, which, like I said, the Leylands did admirably over at Hey Kids Comics, I thought we'd instead look to the team-ups between the Robins in both comics and animation.
Oh, yeah.
And I apologize if I sound a little froggy because earlier this week I couldn't talk.
Yay!
Yeah, nice. So my voice doesn't sound quite right, but it's like at this point we've got to record this thing.
I know. The plan was originally to record this
like Sunday,
5 days ago, either on Saturday or Sunday, but when Chris doesn't argue with me about you need to go sit on the couch, then I know he's sick.
No, well, like I said, I just couldn't even talk.
I know. So, and you didn't need to go to work, but...
Yeah, well. So we thought we'd start out with Robin number 10 from the ongoing Robin series from September 1994, cover dated September 1994, on sale, according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, August 2nd, 1994. And the Robin that starred in this title was Tim Drake. He had debuted in Batman number 436, August 1989, during Batman's 50th anniversary year, and became the third official Robin in DCU continuity in Batman number 457, December 1990. Several years and miniseries later, he was awarded his own title right in the middle of the Nightfall, Night Quest, Night's End, Nighty Night, Good Night, Mrs. Calabash storyline, whatever. The 10th issue of the ongoing series was part of DC's Zero Hour Crisis in Time event, which was DC's annual event at the time. This was actually DC taking a chance to clean up some of the post-crisis continuity glitches they had had. It was in within the stories, the DC Universe was suffering breaches and weirdness in the time stream, leading to a soft reboot of the post-crisis DC Universe.
You know how to avoid reboots?
What?
Have good writing to start with.
On the cover by Tom Grummett and Ray Kreising, Tim Drake, as Robin, crouches on a rooftop looking over the edge. Behind him looms the figure of Robin, or a kid in the original Robin costume. The story is titled Two Birds, One Stone. Story by Chuck Dixon, yay. Pencils, Tom Grummett, yay. Inks, Ray Kreising. Colors, Adrian Roy. Letters, Albert DeGuzman. Assistant editor, Jordan B. Gorfinkel. Editor, Denny O'Neill.
Through caption box narration, Tim Drake tells of a jewelry heist that occurred 2 days ago. Chet Weasel Grimes made off with the Vladimir Oval worth $2 million. Grimes, also a master escape artist, made a clean getaway. But Batman and Commissioner Gordon are making sure no one can get out of Gotham. In the present, Tim, as Robin, roughs up some of Grimes' known associates, hoping to get some clue to his whereabouts. While in the middle of his forceful interrogation, a thug with a barrel sneaks up on Tim, but a voice calls out, "Heads up!" Tim turns to find his potential assailant kicked by a swinging figure clad in the classic costume of the original Robin.
Tim is curious as to who this new Robin is. The old school Robin asserts he's the real deal and that Tim did a pretty fair job of copying his costume, and he likes the long pants. The pixie-booted boy wonder warns his spiky-haired counterpart that the streets are dangerous and crime-fighting should be left to him and Batman. Having had enough of all this, Tim takes Robin Classic over to his crime-fighting car, the Redbird. There he asks him to place his hand on his scanner bed. OG Robin thinks he is just subjecting himself to a lie detector of some kind, but Tim is after fingerprints. Those that come up on the screen match the prints of none other than Dick Grayson.
Tim fills Dick in on all the weird timey-wimey stuff going on, and after going over Dick's origin, the original Boy Wonder is convinced he is indeed in his future. Before they can figure out what to do next, Tim picks up a call on the police scanner, and soon the two are off in the Redbird in pursuit of Weasel Grimes.
Along the way, Tim tells Dick how he became Robin, figuring out Bruce Wayne's secret identity, and how he still feels like he is in training. Both Robins agree that they feel like they could screw up and lose their jobs at any moment. Dick wonders what happened to him. Did he retire? Did Tim replace him right away? A shaken Tim nearly tells the tale of Jason Todd, but changes the subject mid-sentence.
The heroes track Grimes to the Gotham Aquarium. Finding his getaway car abandoned, Tim can't figure why Grimes would come to this place miles away from any airport or train station. Dick advises him to stay alert based on Grimes' tricky reputation. Inside, the Robins find Grimes and are soon in hot pursuit. Walking past a series of shark tanks, Grimes fires bullets from above. They hit the tank, which soon cracks, unleashing their deadly deluge at the team. No sooner than they escape the freed sharks, Grimes fires once more. Tim is impressed as Dick uses his natural acrobatic skills to make it over to Grimes' position. He is forced to use a bat rope to get there. He thinks that at this point, he is older than Dick, and though he has more experience, his predecessor is still showing him up. Tim is further embarrassed when he is spooked by a killer whale and falls into his tank. Adding insult to injury, Dick has to pull him out. Dick believes Grimes wants him to follow him, but Tim is hell-bent on nailing the guy. Dick asks if the guy who replaced him was so reckless. Tim immediately flashes to the fallen Robin, Jason Todd, who was indeed that reckless. He agrees to take things slower.
As the boys try to head Grimes off, Dick learns about his future identity of Nightwing, because apparently Tim doesn't care if the space-time continuum screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
The discussion turns to the recent traumatic events in Batman's life, Nightfall, but soon Grimes is spotted. As he tries to make his way to an upper level via a rainforest display, he slips and falls into the waters below. Tim is horrified, and the two race to the tank level to see what has become of Grimes.
What they find is the piranha tank and a stripped skeleton inside. With Grimes' lifeless corpse floating before them and no diamond to be found, Dick believes the case is closed. But Tim smells something rotten. Calling the police, the Robins observe Detective Harvey Bullock on the scene. When another officer hands Bullock a jelly donut, he scoffs at it, saying he doesn't eat jelly donuts. Tim has a eureka moment, and soon he and Dick are back inside the aquarium. Or inside a closet, they find the soaked, but very much alive, Chet Weasel Grimes.
Tim deduces that Grimes knew the black piranhas he fell into were not flesh eaters. Grimes must have planted the stripped skeleton earlier. With Grimes declared dead, the dragnet was off, and he could slip out of town with the diamond, which Dick finds in his pocket. As the boys prepare to hand Grimes over to Bullock, Dick begins to fade away, and then the world with him. Suddenly, everything is white. Zero Hour is here. And for that, you'd have to read Zero Hour, which we're not going to cover.
So. No.
As far as the cover goes, I love Tom Grummett's stuff, but for some reason, Dick's hair like looks off.
I thought he was Jason at first. The first time I looked at it, I thought it was Jason.
Yeah, because he looks kind of...
Angry,
yeah.
He's supposed to be the happy do-gooder.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. I like everything else, but his face is kind of off just a little bit. You know, Chuck Dixon wrote a good chunk of the Robin series way past 100, I think. He didn't create Tim Drake, but he made him the character that he was. To me, Tim was the most relatable young hero that anybody had come up with since Lee Ditko's Spider-Man, so that's saying something. But, I mean, there was a definite vibe like the early Spider-Man comics in the Robin title. Right away, we get the idea that Dick is better at the physical stuff when he saves Tim's bacon. I like that, you know, because they show the differences between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny that Dick thinks that Tim is essentially a Robin cosplayer. Like, he's
you know, you'd like me so much, you're just going to look like me, right?
Right, yeah. She's like, pretty good job on the costume. One thing that did kind of...
That was a duh moment.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah, where Tim asked Dick to put his hand on the scanner bed, and he just goes ahead and does it. I mean, even if he thought, you know, that it was some kind of lie detector, it could still compromise the secret identity.
Exactly.
Definitely not something Batman would approve of.
No, and I mean, you got to think about it. At this point, you don't know that he's not... That Tim isn't a bad guy.
Right.
So, I mean, this could have some kind of chemical on it. I mean, it's just a big what moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything.
Now, there is, during Zero Hour, I mean, it wasn't just the current DC continuity that was having timey-wimey stuff going on. Because, like, the old portly Alfred from the 40s showed up in a Shadow of the Bat issue, and Superman ran into a bunch of different Batman from different periods in the comics and things. So this Robin could be from an earlier, like, he could be a Robin from the 1940s or something, mm-hmm. who wouldn't even begin to understand what that thing was, you know. So, I mean, I guess you could kind of, but it still seemed a little dumb for Dick to just blindly trust him to do that. But I do like, despite all that, I do like the fact that the Robins accept the timey-wimey craziness pretty easily, because, you know,
they know an alien from outer space that shoots lasers out of his eyes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. See, I mean, that's the thing in comics that, okay, if you're going to have a universe where there's Superman and there's the Spectre, and so, you know, there's aliens, you shouldn't get, if you hear there's aliens, you shouldn't be like, aliens aren't real, because they're Superman. If you see a ghost, you shouldn't go, ghosts aren't real, because there's the Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got your science fiction and your supernatural stuff confirmed in this universe. Don't get all excited when you see a ghost right. or alien.
And magic, because we got Zatanna and Shazam.
Yeah, and Dr. Fate and all that, yeah. I think it's telling that both Robins fear failing Batman and losing their jobs. That's a nice touch, you know. And it's interesting to hear Dick say that. I mean, that was kind of something that was more added later, you know, that as they examine their relationship and things like Robin Year One and things like that
mm-hmm.
in modern times. But obviously Tim had, you know, he didn't just get, you know, he didn't put the Robin costume on and get the job. He had to like train for another year before he got awarded his own costume and everything. Yeah, Tim may come out in the end as being the better detective of the two, but it's Dick who realizes this could all be a setup. So I like that, you know, it just seems like Dick, even though Tim's a better detective, Dick's more of a natural at it. Like he was born to it where Tim has to work at it, which there's nothing wrong with that. Of course, they, you know, Dick has to point to Tim that he's acting reckless. You know, Tim's obviously a little flustered, you know, being, you know, here's Robin in front of him. And, mm-hmm. you know, and he's acting reckless because of it.
But it's kind of like the whole thing, like when you have two brothers together and they're, you know, one of course, the little brother will try and act like the big brother and say, hey, I can do this. And, you know,
yeah.
And he's trying to be, you know,
right.
Let's go ahead and get this done and I'll show you how, you know, how right. he is.
Well, it's interesting too, because really Tim and Dick hadn't got a whole lot of chance to work together other than, you know, like in the initial storyline that introduced Tim, Lonely Place of Dying, they were together. But Chuck Dixon really developed that kind of brotherly
mm-hmm.
relationship back and forth because he was writing Nightwing and Robin.
Right, right.
During the glory days of the Batman, when Chuck Dixon was writing almost every Batman book.
When it was good.
Yeah, Detective and Birds of Prey and Nightwing and Robin, mm-hmm. all four of them. So.
Oh, and you know, you actually had continuity.
Yeah.
And good writing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm being snarky.
That's okay. It's pretty shocking when you see the skeleton. I mean, Dixon had me fooled. I mean, I didn't know where the story was going.
Neither did I.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Then the whole mystery angle, it reads like a lot of Golden Age Batman tales, which were usually written by Bill Finger.
Because
mm-hmm. he liked that type of stuff. You get the fade to white at the end. All the Zero Hour issues from this month ended in that way. The last page of the issue is actually just white. The next month, they did the Zero issue, which was meant to streamline some backstory elements and give readers a new jumping on point, which it actually did. I mean, that was a really good, the Zero issues are really good. And I mean, that was one of those cases where I think it was a stunt that actually worked. I mean, you could pick up a book and kind of decide, well, you know, this sounds pretty good. I mean, we've obviously talked about Starman number Zero.
Right, right.
So, I love Chuck Dixon's run, as we said, and Grummet, early issues were some of the best. He kind of had a lock on drawing young heroes at the time because he had come in on New Titans. He moved over to Robin. He did a run on Superman, but while he was there, they introduced Superboy, which he went off and did his book.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really dug his style, and I still love to see it. And he just had a real, his style just really meshed with that young age group. I really like this one. I think it's a lot of fun. What did you guys think of it?
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to get in.
Except for the, like I said, the elements that we pointed out before, him putting his hand on the scanner and, you know.
Right.
It was a good story.
Yep. You know, by pitting the Robins up against a non-supervillain too, you can focus more on them and the mystery at hand. If it had been the Joker or somebody, you know, or one of the big bat villains, you would have worried about them more. Mm-hmm. By being a no-name, just thief, jewelry thief, escape artist, you could, you know, you could get more invested in what was going on with Tim and Dick, which I thought was a good move, too. Okay, so now we're going to jump from the comics into the animated world, back into the Timverse.
Yay!
Yay. we're going to take a look at the New Batman Adventures Season 2 episode, Old Wounds. Original air date, October 3rd, 1998. Written by Rich Fogel. Directed by Kurt Gita. Music by Shirley Walker. And the animation, according to the World's Finest website, was by Coco and Dong Yang. The cast is Kevin Conroy as Batman, Bruce Wayne, of course. Lauren Lester as Nightwing, original Robin, Dick Grayson. Matthew Valencia as Robin 2, Tim Drake. Tara Sharendorf, now Tara Strong, as Batgirl, Barbara Gordon. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. as Alfred. Mark Hamill as the Joker. And Ian Buchanan as Connor.
I like the old Joker design better.
Yeah, we all do.
In a Gotham alley, two thugs rob a man of his wallet, but soon Robin, a.k.a. Tim Drake, is on the scene. The boy Wonder enjoys a brief victory before one of the crooks puts him in a trash can. The fleeing criminal is stopped by an arriving Nightwing. The former Robin drops off the crook to his green successor.
Here, kid. I think you lost this.
I could've handled him.
Coulda, woulda, didn't.
You sound just like Batman.
I'm nothing like him.
Yeah, right. The mask, the attitude, the long underwear.
Drop it!
I'd love to know what happened between you two.
Things change.
No kidding. You guys used to be the greatest. Batman and Robin, the dynamic duo.
Maybe you should ask him.
I did. And you'll never guess what he said. Things change.
Nightwing recounts how he and Batman grew apart slowly over time, but it all came to a head when he graduated college. As Dick receives his degree, surrogate grandfather figure Alfred Pennyworth and girlfriend Barbara Gordon are in attendance, but Bruce Wayne is conspicuous by his absence. As Batman, he is on one of his nightly excursions. After the ceremony, Dick and Barbara take in a romantic dinner and discuss their future. The romantic interlude is disrupted by a call from Batman, who requires Robin's assistance in foiling a heist at Gotham Space Labs. Dick makes a ridiculous excuse to get away. I mean, it's really bad. And leaves. Yeah, gonna clean
we'll
up.
Talk more about that in
a minute. And leaves a flummoxed Barbara standing alone.
At Goth Space, a man named Connor is in over his head, playing lookout for a mysterious employer who he soon learns is none other than the Joker. Above, Batman watches, who is less than thrilled with his partner when he arrives late.
You're late.
Excuse me for having a life.
Inside, the Joker orders his goons to steal a radar disruptor, but his shopping spree is soon halted by the dramatic arrival of Batman and Robin.
Nice entrance. Either you've never heard of a door, or you just like pulling glass out of your shorts.
The Joker's men open fire on the dynamic duo as Connor watches in horror outside. In the melee, Batman is temporarily sidelined as the Joker and his gang get away, leaving Connor behind. Robin tracks the frantic man back to his apartment. When he arrives, his son and wife are playing spacemen, but their fun is soon interrupted when Robin kicks in the locked door on top of Connor. The young hero is taken aback by the presence of the man's family and of the son's defense of his father with a plastic ray gun. Batman's actions are more decisive when he arrives.
Stay back! Where's the Joker?
I don't know.
Daddy!
Remember now?
Batman, not like this. Not in front of his family.
The sooner he talks, the sooner we leave.
I'm out of here now.
The differences between their ideologies is displayed in stark black and white, and Robin leaves his mentor behind.
Sometime later, Dick stops at Barbara's apartment, hoping to talk to someone who can understand. But Barbara doesn't know their secrets, and she can't know. So he leaves her even more bewildered than before. She visits Wayne Manor, hoping to find answers.
He was so upset he couldn't even talk about it. It wasn't the first time I've seen him like that.
What is it between you two? What's going on?
You really care for him, don't you? Follow me.
Bruce leads her to the grandfather clock and the secret door behind it, down the winding rock stairwell and into the Bat Cave itself.
Master Bruce, I... Miss Gordon, I heard you've discovered our little secret. Yes, I admit it. I am Batman.
It's all right, Alfred.
Very good, sir.
Why would you trust me with this?
For Dick's sake. Besides, I'm not the only one with the secret, am I? Batgirl.
How did you...
I make it my business to know.
Alfred interrupts their revelations with news of the Joker. The Clown Prince has once again used the airwaves to issue an ultimatum. He demands $40 million or he will use his radar disruptor to disable all aircraft in the area, causing untold chaos and destruction. With Robin out of reach, Batman's need for backup is filled by Batgirl, and soon the two are off for the Gotham State Building, the highest point in the city. There, the Joker has his disruptor up and running. Meanwhile, Dick arrives in the Batcave and begins to piece together just what is going on, despite Alfred being less than forthcoming.
Batman and Batgirl attack the Joker and his men, but the Caped Crusader's flying jet wing pack is damaged, and he is soon set upon by the Joker's hyenas. The Joker knocks Batgirl from the top of the building, much to an arriving Robin's horror. He launches the jet-propelled handles from his Batcycle, grabs Batgirl, and then swings the two of them to safety.
Thanks.
Wait. We gotta talk.
Not now. He needs us.
The terrific trio go into action one final time as an airplane approaches. Batgirl draws the Joker's Tommy gun fire to the disruptor, which explodes. Batman gets the Domino Dare doll out of the way in time, but the blast KOs the Joker. The situation afterwards is even messier.
Batgirl, I still can't believe it. How could you keep something like this from me?
You weren't exactly honest with me either.
But you told him.
He knew.
It wasn't my place to tell you.
But it was your place to put her in danger.
It wasn't like that. I volunteered.
You think you did? You don't know him like I do. He manipulates, pulls strings, anything to get what he wants.
I thought we had the same goals.
Things change. I changed. The game's over, Batman. I quit.
Robin, wait.
Robin decks Batman and rips off his cape and mask. He swings off into the night, leaving a rattled Batgirl and bruised Batman behind.
Back in the present, Dick concludes his story.
I never put on that costume again.
And you still haven't forgiven him?
Why should I? He'll never change.
They go back to the crime scene and Nightwing finds one of the wallets that were stolen. He is shocked by what he finds inside. At Wayne Enterprises, the two heroes return the wallet to its owner, Connor, who now works in security there.
I think this is yours, Connor.
Oh, thanks. But you almost gave me a heart attack. I thought you were the Batman.
No.
I ran up against him once. It was a real eye-opener. Forced me to get my life together. Now I've got this great job. Even Mr. Wayne knows me. Terrific guy. Never too busy to stop and ask how my boy's doing.
Mr. Wayne is a good man.
Guess Batman had a change of heart. Who'd have thought he had one? Speak of the devil. You coming?
I guess it's about time.
With the bat signal blazing in the sky, the two swing off to answer it and rejoin their mentor in his crusade. Okie doke. The flashback portions of this episode match the events that were depicted in the first two issues of the Batman Adventures The Lost Years comic miniseries that was published by DC beginning in November of 1997, which was nearly a full year before this episode aired. And the final issue, number 5, writer Hillary J. Bader thanks Rich Vogel for his scripting for Old Wounds. So though this story came out first in the comics, it was based on the script for Old Wounds, which was in production.
Mm-hmm.
The Leylands actually covered Batman the Lost Years on Hey Kids Comics. We're really pushing Hey Kids Comics this episode.
Uh-huh, that's it.
But, yeah, so, I mean, when I saw this episode, I'd already read the comic.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew all this was coming, but, and it follows it fairly closely. There's some extra stuff to it, but the animated version of Tim Drake was quite a bit different from the comic version we just talked about. And we've talked about him here before, but he debuted on the episode Holiday Nights, which we covered last Christmas. He had a backstory quite a bit like Jason Todd, and that was depicted in the second episode of the new Batman Adventures, Sins of the Father. This was also where Dick Grayson returned, although he didn't debut as Nightwing until later in the season with the episode You Scratch My Back. So, okay, let's get it out of the way. Nightwing has a mullet.
He does have a mullet.
Oh my gosh. And another thing, like when he's Robin, when Dick Grayson is Robin, I like the old design of Robin for some reason better.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting getting used to the fact that they used the new designs, the new Tim style in this episode, even for Batman and Robin and Batgirl. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of Batman and Batgirl are in the new costumes, even though this is in the past. So
right.
It kind of would have worked a little bit better if they had showed them in their old Batman animated series costumes. In the comic book version, they are. So, you know, Batman's got the oval. Barbara's got the gray suit instead of the black.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't really do that. But yeah, Glenn Merkimy has said that he designed the Nightwing look to be long hair, but it reads mullet.
Oh yeah,
because it's short on the side and long in the back. You know,
business in the front, party in the back.
Yeah, it really is.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to say that.
Well,
sorry.
You know, Dick had I mean, he was drawn with a mullet in the comics in the early 90s when he had the yellow feather design, the in-between suit between his disco suit and his the blue-black suit. So, you know, he historically didn't have a mullet. So, you know, but yeah. So that's probably one reason why when they had Nightwing appear on that one episode of Teen Titans, they gave him a different haircut.
Yeah.
Which Glenn Merkimy was the showrunner of that series. The crew had a little fun with Tim screwing up from time to time, which I thought was nice.
It seems to me, though, I mean, as far as the design, Tim, he is drawn so little that he looks like he's only about 8 to 10 years old.
Maybe he is.
No, I don't think he's that
old. But just because they draw him so tiny, I mean, it makes me think, and I'm like, and if you notice in the series, and I do have an issue with this, they show Tim out on his own a whole lot more than they ever did Dick Grayson Robin on his own.
Right.
And I'm just like, why, when he looks so much tinier?
Well, I think when they started Batman the Animated Series, they didn't want Robin in every episode. They knew they wanted to use Robin. Their solution was, oh, we'll use the college version of Robin. Because, you know, when I was a kid growing up, that's Robin was in college. Yeah. He had his own solo stories, but he didn't show up in Batman's books all the time. So that way they could have their cake and eat it too. But somewhere in between, they knew that, well, as the series went along, they renamed the Batman animated series to The Adventures of Batman and Robin, and Dick was in it a lot more.
Right.
Because Fox wanted Robin in like every episode. Mm-hmm. They cheated here and there, but for the most part, they did it. So when Kids WB got it, they wanted Robin in it all the time. Plus, Batman and Robin, the movie,
was coming.
Came out that year. God help us. And so they wanted Robin in there, but they had just decided, you know, they kind of went against their original decision. Like, they wanted a young Robin. But I agree, he looks younger than 13.
I think
he's supposed to be 13, but he looks like he's a baby 10 at the moment.
Yeah, 8 to 10
But he's maybe
old.
Just real short, you know. I thought it was interesting. I hadn't thought of this before, but you think about it. In the first story that we just covered, Tim's about to get hit with a barrel and Dick saves him. Mm-hmm. And this one, he's put in a trash can and Dick saves him. It's interesting. There's a story in Batman number 416 that came out post-crisis, after they had introduced the new version of Jason Todd, where he was the punk on the streets that stole the tires off the Batmobile, and that Batman had fired Dick, which is just, God, I wanted to rip that comic book up. But anyway, in issue number 416, Jim Sterling tries to kind of smooth things over, and he actually has the first time that Dick and Jason really get the chance to talk. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of similar to this, because they kind of go over why they broke up and, you know, why the dynamic duo split up. So, yeah. Dick tells Barbara that he has a trust fund insurance settlement that he's going to use to start his life now that he's out of college, which I liked. And that they did that in the comics, too.
Well, I mean, it makes sense that he wants to be his own man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, with Jason dead, he was the heir to the Wayne fortune, you know, especially in the comics where Tim's dad was still around at the time, you know. So the animators do a good job of letting us know how hard it is for Dick to ditch Barbara because, as Shag would say, she's totally hot. I mean, they do this close up of her as she gets up, and he's just like this look on his face, like,
Let's just say Batman's the ultimate blocker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes forward.
Yeah, let's not get into that. Definitely not get into what the comics did recently. Yeah. And as we said,
and he's clean. I mean, I'm sorry, but he's going to clean out the fridge as his excuse. You know, daggone good well. That over the years that Dick has had to make various excuses to various people where Batman has called him and say, hey, you come help me. Cleaning the fridge, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pathetic.
Yeah, I like their little brief exchange. Like, this isn't a really good time. I'm not making the schedule. And he just hangs up on him. we'll get into this later, but Batman was even more distance, even though he had like a mini family in like every episode of this series, because he had Tim and he had Barbara,
Alfred,
and he had Dick sometimes, but he had somebody in every episode with him in this version. He was colder than he had been in Batman the Animated Series. It's like he got older and grumpier, but he's even
like me,
but even more so in this episode, because you're hearing all this through Dick's, you know, this is all from Dick's perspective. So Batman's even more of a jerk than normal in this one. I will say, and I hate to say this, because we all know we love the animated series. We've gushed about it. But I've always been kind of bothered by the voice of Connor, because he just sounds too upper crust.
He sounds British.
He sounds like, I mean, it's kind of like a really exaggerated New England accent.
See,
and he's like, I don't know, when he asks him, he's like, where's the Joker? And he's like, I don't know.
But see, that's the whole point. To me, that is the whole point of Connor's voice, is his inflection. Connor is a guy that probably came from a middle-class family. He probably lost a good job. He had a wife and son that were devoted to him. His wife and son weren't, you know, they were doing the best they could. He took the job to provide for his family. To me, him having a more educated, cultured voice fit with the whole point. He fell in with the wrong crowd.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's good casting.
So scratch
that out.
That's
not a problem.
Okay. Well, okay. You've convinced me. Okay.
Scratched it out.
I hadn't really thought of that.
Okay. Let's move on, man.
You know, Andrew pointed out nobody here really likes the Joker's new Batman Adventures.
Doesn't make right sense.
Redesign.
He's blue.
Yeah. The new Batman Adventure. Look, I mean, there's a reason why it changed when they did Batman Beyond and then Justice League.
Now that design was awesome and scary.
Yeah. But Mark Hamill, of course, is awesome. But he has some of his best lines, including the glass out of your shorts line.
Definitely.
Which will
covers every entrance.
Yeah. Yeah, every Batman entrance ever. Some of the animation in this one is a bit stiff, but all the important parts are well realized. The tense moments in Connor's apartment, for instance, really well done. It's interesting, we're talking about what Barbara had on. The nightie she has on when Dick comes to her apartment covers more of her than her dress did.
I know. I'm like, dang, you're just covering from the boobs to your butt, chick. That's it.
I like that Dick went to Barbara without thinking that he really couldn't tell her anything. I mean, that
so just, he woke her up for nothing.
That just tells you how conflicted he was. I mean, he just was not thinking straight, which is probably one reason why he said he needed to clean out the fridge, because he just wasn't thinking straight. He was just, you know, everything was just coming to a head. And Alfred, you know, says, you know, I am Batman. That was cute. I like that.
He does that even with Static on the Static.
Oh, yeah.
Episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Kind of harkens back to the old TV show when Alfred would dress up in the Batman costume sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
He did on Brave and the Bold, too.
We need to see if Static Shock's on DVD somewhere.
Maybe it's on Netflix. Netflix.
We ought to see. Okay, so. But anyway.
Because, yes, I will interrupt this. You've heard us gripe and complain about our internet and lack of Netflix before. The real internet has come to our area. We have
Daredevil
internet, and we have watched Daredevil, and we
love it.
And we loved it. Yes.
Yeah.
But back to this episode.
Oh, sorry.
Let me tell you here. Here's where I have a problem.
Okay.
Oh, good Lord.
Batman, he took Barbara down in the Batcave. He knew that Robin was pulling away.
Right.
What better way to maybe pull him back in than to get the woman that Dick loves involved too? He knows she's Batgirl. If he reveals Robin's secret, maybe he can bring Robin back in.
Well, so, that's kind of what Dick was saying at the end when he's saying he pulls strings and manipulates people.
Yeah. I mean, but that's...
He does.
You can look at it as two different ways. You can look at it as saying that he's doing it for Dick's sake, for his own good, or he's doing it for Batman's own good so he doesn't lose his partner.
See, that's why Dick's better.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the good point, yeah. But, of course, that he knew Barbara's secret, you know. And, you know, I know comic books, you have to suspend disbelief to a point about not knowing, you know, people not recognizing the hero and their secret identity. But Barbara and Dick were dating.
Both are detectives.
Both. Robin and Batgirl were always flirty in every episode they were in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in this series. So
that's kind of bad. Think about that. Robin and Batgirl always flirting.
Why?
Because think about it.
They're effectively cheating on each other.
Yeah.
They're cheating on each other.
Yeah.
This is true.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain. So.
What did you do with the money?
For what?
For the singing lessons.
Cue the Rupert Holmes. Oh, sorry.
I really was.
I'm just going to throw this in. I really like the new Batman Adventures Batmobile. I know it's blasphemy, but I prefer it over the original. There, I said it.
How did he get the new Batmobile?
The guy made it for him, the mechanic dude, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, which is from the episode, The Mechanic.
Uh-huh.
The Batman in this series, starting with the World's Finest episodes, he used that jet wing thingy that was like a flying backpack.
Is that
backpack.
A technical term?
Yeah, jet wing thing. Yeah, that's a technical term. On the Brave and the Bold, which we'll get to later.
Oh, the cape.
His cape would actually turn into
the
jet pack
thing.
I loved it.
But it makes for a cool visual. So, also, in the rooftop fight, the new Batman Adventure guys really like knocking Batgirl off roofs.
Yes!
See the episode Over the Edge, which
oh my gosh.
At some point we'll have to cover.
Oh, yeah.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, that blew everybody's mind. You know, again, showing how screwed up Dick is right now, he's more concerned about relationship issues than Batman fighting the Joker on the roof or the fact that Gotham's in danger. We got to talk. You know, it's like, that's not really the time, dude.
But, you know, look at Barbara Gordon. Can you understand why he wants to, you know?
Yeah, I know, but it's like, you know, all your years of training have gone out the window because, you know. But, yeah, he's really screwed up. A Joker gets another great line when Batman, you know, knocks the hyenas off of him. He's like, hey, do I hit your kids? That's another good one. The final scene with Batman and Robin just showcases some damn fine acting.
Language.
Between Conroy. All right, Cap. Between Conroy and Lauren Lester, you forget you're watching a cartoon.
Right.
Because you watch these guys for years as Batman and Robin, listen to them. And, I mean, it's hard. It's engrossing, but it's hard to watch because you're like, oh, man. You know, it's like, they play it so well. It's great. And it was quite shocking when Robin punched Batman, even though
it wasn't really needed.
I mean,
it was kind of weird, though.
But even though I knew it was coming because I had the comic.
Right.
I knew that's what happened, but it was shocking.
Can we talk about Batgirl's reaction? I'm just like, really?
Well, I mean, that's pretty shocking that Robin slugged
Batman.
Yeah,
but, you know, she did the little girl move. I'm like, you know, put her hands up in front of her face and go, oh! I mean, I'd be like, dang!
Well, no, you wouldn't. You've done that before.
It's a cartoon. They have to kind of overact to a point, you know? So, I can see that. I can see why they would do that.
When Robin, you know, starts taking off everything, he takes off his mask and then starts grappling.
Takes off his cape and his mask and then swings away. in the Robin suit otherwise with no mask.
He should have ripped off the R.
Yeah.
And just went on. Because if he ripped off the R, that would be more dramatic because he's saying, I'm not Robin anymore. I'm my own man.
Yeah, that's a good
True.
Point.
True, yeah.
That's good. Good point. Yeah. When Connor says, oh, I thought you were the Batman. And the way Nightwing says, no. Like that is like this disdain in his voice. Mm-hmm. You know, it just shows you where he's at the moment with Batman, you know. Until he figures out that, you know, Bruce Wayne actually gave him a job and took care of him after he, you know, yeah, he beat the guy of his family, but he made sure he had a job later. You know, so when he says, Mr. Wayne is a good man, you know, that was kind of a kind of nice little bit to kind of wrap it up. You know, as the old school Batman fanboy loves the ending with the Nightwing theme and them swinging, as Andrew pointed out, on very long grapple lines into the bat signal.
It's like the old Spider-Man cartoons where he'd be swinging through the air on nothing.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. You know, I was there for the original version of Dick leaving the Robin role. So I'm always going to prefer that amicable split where Dick, you know, gracefully takes off the Robin suit and Teen Titans, walks into the Batcave, and Batman hands Jason the costume and says, so long, you know, and Bruce
that's
and Dick
cooler.
Shake hands and thanks him. And
right.
That's, you know, I'm always going to like that to a point, but I got to say, if this is the best version of the angry split, you know, just the way it just builds. And Robin was always snarky on the animated series. You could see it coming to this, you know, to a point. So, but I think we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll cover two different versions of Batman, the Brave and the Bold.
C-3PO.
Loki.
Mace Windu.
Dr. Bruce Banner.
Captain Rex.
Venom.
Princess Leia.
Jean Grey.
Darth Maul.
Nick Fury.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Captain America.
Lando Calrissian.
Cyclops.
What do all these characters have in common?
Well, two of them were played by Samuel L. Jackson.
A couple of them were played by Hammer Films veterans Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
Come on, guys. You know this.
Well, of course we do, Jessica. Just like Mickey Mouse and Captain Jack Sparrow, they're all now Disney characters. Hello, I'm Tracy of the Disney Indiana podcast, and my co-host Scott and I enjoy talking about all aspects of the House of Mouse, and that includes their newest properties, Marvel and LucasArts.
We also talk about Disney resorts, the cruise line, theme parks, and whatever else Mickey has to offer.
Which includes movies, Imagineering, video games, and collectibles. You'll never know what we'll decide to talk about.
So check us out at www.disneyindiana.com or do a search for the Disney Indiana podcast on iTunes, because now we've got a lot more to talk about.
And don't forget about those other quote-unquote Disney characters like, well, Sully,
Fozzie Bear,
Buzz Lightyear,
Link Hogthrob,
Doug,
Janice,
Merida,
Pepe,
Bruce,
Ralph the Dog,
Wally,
Dr. The Disney Bunsen Indiana Honeydew, podcast, Syndrome, even after Bella, 5 years, we are still miles away from the nearest Main Street, USA. We're not listed on the map, but you can join us at www.disneyindiana.com.
Okay, we're back. And so, oddly enough, even though we've been at this for 2 years, almost, we have never talked about an episode of Batman, the Brave and the Bold, or the comic based on it, which just blows my mind. So a little backstory. Batman the Brave and the Bold aired on Cartoon Network from November 14th, 2008 to November 18th, 2011.
It was that long? They didn't seem that long.
Yep.
I mean, they were all good.
Yep.
They were.
The premise, like the classic comic, was Batman teaming up with various heroes from throughout the DC line. It was generally a more lighthearted, zany approach to Batman than any of the Timverse stuff, although it was headlined by one of Tim's disciples, James Tucker. It combined elements from all versions of the comic, but brought in some of the campy nature of the classic TV series in the zany Haney years of the comic title when Bob Haney was a writer.
Outrageous!
Yeah. Tucker's designs were highly influenced by Dick Sprang. Yay! And it was Tucker who had boarded the Sprang segment of the classic New Batman Adventures episode, Legends of the Dark Knight, which we covered way back on the
way back in the day.
Episode of Superman. So I think it was like episode 3 or something. Diedrich Bader was the voice of Batman, and he's actually my second favorite Batman voice actor after Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes his voice works better if you are reading a Haney or particularly goofy Batman story, or a more Silver Age-y, late Golden Age Batman story. So obviously, like every animated series, there was a comic DC put out based on that series, drawn in that art style. And there was actually two Batman Brave and the Bold comics. This is from the second series, the all-new Batman Brave and the Bold number 13, from cover dated January 2012, and it went on sale November 9th, 2011. The cover copy reads, "Calling all Robins," and has five Robins swinging across the cityscape at night. A tiny figure of Nightwing points toward their objective. The cover art is credited to Rick Burchett, Dan Davis, and Guy Major.
Okay. So on the cover, there's a bunch of color flaws. Carrie Kelly, her sleeves are red.
Okay.
And then Stephanie, her sleeves are all red. Like, she doesn't even have short sleeves. Mm-hmm. Nightwing doesn't have the yellow going across his chest.
The feathers, yeah.
Yeah, and then all their bat ropes or whatever are all messed up.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Tim's the best one, though.
Yeah.
Damien's off, too, by his boots.
I got a few issues with the cover myself, but we'll get into that after we talk about it. But the story is called Batman Dies at Dawn, which is a takeoff on the classic Robin Dies at Dawn from the 60s comic. Sholly Fish was the writer. Rick Burchett, pencils. Dan Davis, inks. Guy Major, colorist. Carlos M. Manguel, letterer. Jim Chadwick, editor. Batman, created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger, damn it.
That's right.
Language again.
The newly christened Nightwing joins his old pal Speedy in rounding up the Royal Flush Gang. The former teen wonder is startled by the sudden appearance of the Phantom Stranger, who requires his assistance. The two vanish in a puff of smoke, much to Speedy's surprise. Nightwing then finds himself in the Batcave, surrounded by others who have worn the red, green, and yellow of Robin. Even more shocking, the Phantom Stranger holds the lifeless body of Batman in his arms. He declares, "For if you do not act swiftly, Batman dies at dawn."
Dun dun dun. There is much confusion among the assembled Robins. Tim Drake wants to know where they all came from. Jason Todd is sure one of these phony Robins is responsible for Batman's condition, which Stephanie Brown takes great offense at. Damian Wayne declares no girl can be Robin, which gets a snide smile out of Carrie Kelly.
Personally, right then, I'd tell him to pound his ass in the dirt.
Yes.
Nightwing, former Robin Dick Grayson, admits to knowing some of the assembled Teen Wonders, but reminds them that Batman needs them. The Phantom Stranger concurs, saying that while the Batman has many allies, in his most desperate moments, he always turns to Robin. This time, one Robin won't be enough. He tells the heroes of how Batman came to this state. The Dark Knight interrupted a robbery in Crime Alley, saving a family from a desperate gunman. The normally cautious Batman, rattled by the scene so similar to his origin, carelessly assaulted the gunman, and his weapon slammed against the alley wall and fired. Batman threw himself between the family and the bullets and was cut down.
Unable to heal his wounds, the Phantom Stranger has put Batman into a stasis spell. It will only last until morning. He leaves the rest up to the Robins he has assembled and disappears. The Robins descend into chaos until Nightwing takes control. Soon the All-Robin Squad take the Batplane to a remote frozen mountain wasteland. They seek a Lazarus pit deep within the caves inside. Dick orders Tim and Stephanie to stay with Batman while he searches with the others. Tim explains to Steph this wasn't a condemnation of their abilities, but instead proof to his trust in them to keep Batman safe.
While journeying into the cavern, Nightwing thinks of Batman's old foe, Ra's al Ghul, and how he has used the Lazarus Pit to survive the centuries. Soon, he and the team of reckless Robins are upon a contingent of Ra's League of Assassins. Damian, son of Talia al Ghul, grandson of Ra's, claims his birthright to lead them. But instead, they attack, not knowing of the boy here in the past. As they battle on, Dick notes the differences between the Robins. Jason fights hard, taking his rage at the world out on his foes. Damian fights with equal fervor, but with the precision of a surgeon. And Carrie makes up for her lack of strength with enthusiasm and attitude. Making an acrobatic flip, Dick reckons you can take the boy out of the circus, but not the circus out of the boy. Outside, Tim and Steph are approached by Ra's al Ghul himself.
Soon they join the action inside until Ra's orders his men to stop. Tim and Steph have explained their mission and Ra's agrees that his foe does not deserve such an end. He orders his men to take Batman to the Lazarus Pit. Ra's manservant Ubu begins to remind Ra's of the pit's effects, but the immortal remembers what happens very well. However, he believes the Robins do not. Batman's body is lowered slowly into the Lazarus pit, as Ra's and the Robins watch in anticipation. Suddenly, out of the bubbling pool of green liquid, a dark knight rises.
I see what you did there.
Ra's gloats that while the pit has restored his foe, it has also left him quite insane. The younger heroes are shocked, but Nightwing assures them that while the pit may drive Ra's mad, he's not Batman. He extends his hand to his mentor, and a smiling Batman takes it, saying, "Thanks, I knew I could count on you." He then receives a jubilant hug from Stephanie and asks, "Do I know all of you?" The Robins gather around their mentor as the Phantom Stranger and Madame Xanadu peer at them through a crystal ball. Xanadu now knows why her cards couldn't tell whether Batman would live or die this night. The Stranger points out that the world can always count on Batman, and he can always count on Robin. Xanadu then reminds him, if his Robins had failed, there was always Batgirl. From out of the mystic vapors, she summons Barbara Gordon, Cassandra Cain, Betty Kane, and Stephanie Brown, all clad in their Batgirl uniforms.
As Andrew was saying, I like the concept of this cover, but the composition, as well as all the little coloring mistakes, the composition seems off. Nightwing is super tiny in the lower left-hand corner. He's like hiding behind the UPC box, and the figure of Tim is like huge. So it's just kind of...
he's like closer up, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just weird that they...
Yeah, that perspective, you know, if that's what they were trying to do.
It makes you think that Tim's like the main character, which he's not.
Yeah, and I mean, this was after... I mean, Tim's look is from the comics, not the animated series. So it looks similar to the Teen Titans Robin, but Teen Titans was already off by this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's before Teen Titans Go came on. So I could kind of see it if they... but. I don't know. On Batman the Brave and the Bold, Speedy was portrayed as the gee whiz sidekick, you know, kind of like Burt Ward. That was a far cry from the bad boy designation that he would eventually be given.
Oh, and Speedy was voiced by the guy who did Burt Ward, wasn't he?
I think he was. He was voiced by, what's that guy's name?
I don't know.
He played Burt Ward in that Back to the Batcave movie.
Yeah, that's
who was. He was, you think about that. Him and Eric were on Boy Meets World together. They were best friends on that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was on...
he's played the same character in like every single
He was thing. Snapper Carr on Justice League. He was Static Shock's buddy, whatever, Gear or whatever his name was.
Yep.
He's been in everything, yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. I think Speedy was that guy. I can't think of his name.
That's what...
But yeah, good point. And I could look it up right now, but I'm not going to. Obviously, this is meant to occur shortly after the episode Sidekicks Assemble, where Speedy witnessed Dick change from Robin to Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
The Nightwing design is a simplified version of Perez's original costume with the added pointy Batman-like nose and spiky hair. But it's the what people call the disco Nightwing costume.
Right.
Yeah, with the big collar and everything.
See, it looks like he's about to break a move, dude.
But yes, yeah. He's staying alive. Being a huge fan of Alan Brennert's To Kill a Legend from Detective Comics number 500, which we talked about on this show, I can't help but feel a slight connection between these stories because of the Phantom Stranger. Stranger shows up.
Voiced by Kevin Conroy.
Yep. So that's exactly right. So while they got all these Robins, if this were an episode, you'd have two Batmans because Kevin Conroy was the voice of the Phantom Stranger on the series. And the excellent episode, awesome. Chill of the Night, which is awesome.
Have we done that?
No.
You should.
Yeah, we should. But I'm saying this is the first time we've done Brave and the Bold. So, besides Dick, Jason, and Tim, we have Carrie Kelly from The Dark Knight Returns. Tim's temporary replacement, former spoiler, and future Batgirl, Stephanie Brown. And Damian Wayne, current Robin and son of Batman and Talia al Ghul, who I loathe with every fiber of my being.
This is just, you think about this, though. Stephanie Brown is so good that not only was she in the Robin contingent, but she's also in the Batgirl backup contingent to save Batman.
This is true. Yep.
He's got swag.
Yep. I like Rick Burchett's work, and I always have, but I wish they'd given Jason the proper, you know, classic Robin double curl look rather than Dick's, Teen Wonder parted hair. But maybe that's because they did that because Dick had the, even as an older Robin, he still had that haircut.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't start having the spiky hair until, you know, they changed it.
Yeah.
Because in the earlier episodes, he didn't. And then later on, they gave
it was like a middle in between. But of course, he wore the awesome Earth 2 Robin costume.
Yes.
On that show. Awesome. When he was older. I mean, they showed him in the classic Robin costume when he was younger.
Mm-hmm. Like they were going to do in Robin Year 3.
Dick has a caption, "I may have been the first Robin, and I knew I wasn't the last, but I never realized there would have been so many of us." This story is obviously playing around with more than just Batman Brave and the Bold continuity.
Right.
Because as far as I know on that one, Dick's the only Robin.
With Batmite, they showed him holding Jason.
Well,
and Batman realizes it. Like, he's not acting like, "Oh, I've never seen that before." He knows what's going on.
Hmm. Yeah, they get with Batmite, it gets real meta, and you know, of course the last episode, Andrew hates.
I hate it. He's not real. He's just a freaking nut job. That's what they say.
It's like they're all actors,
and it's a freaking cardboard cutout of the Batmobile.
That ruined Andrew's childhood.
It did.
It traumatized him. That and Iron Man 3.
And continue.
I'm sorry. I did like that Batman met his end, quote unquote, in a random but very familiar robbery. That was a nice poetic touch. It wasn't the Joker. It wasn't Ra's al Ghul. It was a crime just like the thing that gave him his beginning. So that was cute that Stephanie can't understand Carrie's Miller-esque dialogue. You know, her future slang that she had in The Dark Knight Returns. Even though I said I loathe the comic Damien with every fiber of my being, he's somewhat tolerable here. And he's actually less of a jerk than Jason, so.
Yeah, because he tells him, "You don't back off, whatever. I know your future, kid. I'll make it happen sooner."
Right, yeah.
Which was awesome. That was like the coolest line in the whole book.
Yeah. So are they in Nanda Parbat or is some other exotic race locale?
Well, you got to think. There are Lazarus Pits throughout the world, right. So.
Right. It looks more like the Lazarus Pit from the very first Ra's al Ghul storyline. I like how Sholly Fish handles the different personalities. You know, Dick trusts Tim and Steph to keep Batman's body safe, while he takes the Wild Bunch inside with him to keep an eye on him. You know,
because they can beat the crap out of people.
Well, but also, so he doesn't trust them to stay on their own. You know, and of course, Dick knew what Ra's had in mind, but he wasn't worried about it because he.
That's a sticking point, though, with me for this whole story, is that Ra's is like, well, it's going to drive him insane. But isn't the whole point of the Lazarus Pit that it only drives you temporarily insane for a limited amount of time?
Yeah, that's supposed to be the way it is. Yeah.
But, I mean, Ra's acts like the way he's talking about it, it's going to drive him insane forever, you know?
Okay, on a new continuity, if you're, like, dead or something, or, like, to the point where you're bleeding out, like he should have been even though it shot through his cape, it makes you go insane forever. As in Jason Todd, he went insane. We don't know how he got his mind all back together. And then on Arrow, the White Canary, she went crazy. And
Constantine.
Constantine had to bring her soul back. So it takes your soul away. I'm just saying, sorry.
But this was back then. And at that point, in that particular moment in time when this book came out, it was supposed to be the Lazarus Pit gives you temporary insanity.
Classically, it just makes you temporarily insane.
So, to me, that's an issue.
Well, I think that's them just playing around with the story. You know, they're in a different continuity. They can kind of play around with it a little bit.
Yeah, but no.
Okay. So, Madame Xanadu, I don't think she was ever on the show. Maybe she was. I don't know. But she had a Batgirl Squad wedding in the wings. So I'd like to have seen them do a sequel to this, but
they should have.
They never got around to
it. Even though I like Robin better, that would have been cool to see.
Yeah.
And see if Steph remembered what happened here.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
it'd be really cool.
This is a whole lot of fun. I mean, if you want this is probably like the only time that all the Robins were in one story working together that I can think of.
And have commentary
together. Yeah. It's simpler than an in-continuity modern comic, but it gets to the heart of the Robin concept and examines the differences between all the different characters who had been Robin. And I can't really think of another story that did that. So.
Oh, and I just realized the Phantom Stranger has Bruce Wayne's bottom face. Because look at his nose. And all the other characters have that one little, the pig nose or the,
Yeah, he's got the kind curve. Of the Roman nose that Bruce Wayne has, yeah. This issue was actually on the stands when the last episode aired, so.
Oh, which Andrew hates, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, but which Andrew hates. Speaking of episodes, let's cover an actual episode.
Yes, my favorite episode, one of them. I love this episode.
Batman the Brave and the Bold. This is from season 2. It's called The Knights of Tomorrow. Oh, yeah. It originally aired November 19th, 2010, so it aired before this comic came out, but it'll make sense while we're covering it last in a minute. It was written by Michael Chang, directed by Jake Black and Todd Casey. Not Jack Black, but Jake Black. Diedrich Bader as Batman Bruce Wayne and the adult Damian. Sebastian Bader as Damian's son and the future Robin, which is Diedrich Bader's son. Jeff Bennett as Joker and Joker Jr. Patrick Cavanaugh as Damian Wayne slash new Robin. Nika Futterman as Selina Kyle slash Catwoman. James Garrett as Alfred Pennyworth. Lex Lang as Dick Grayson slash Batman 2. And Mark Warden as new Joker. Who's the new Joker? That's what it said, though.
The new Joker?
You know, says he was Joker. Jeff Bennett was Joker Jr., too.
Whoa.
I wonder what's... some, one of those got to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Well, that's close enough.
Okay. Okay, who else thinks it's funny that Lex Lang is Dick Grayson?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Lex Lang.
Yeah.
That almost sounds like that's a pseudonym, doesn't
it? Uh-huh, it does.
And that's not the same guy that usually voices Dick Grayson, either. Mm-mm. It's not the... I can't think of the guy's name, but it's not the same actor.
Yeah, because he had more of a deeper voice. I liked his voice. It sounded more heroic, I guess, and older and mature.
Well, that's probably why, because he was supposed to be older, but...
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
A familiar British narrator tells the legend of Batman. How soon after starting his crusade, the knight took in a squire named Robin, and how the dynamic duo fought crime in Gotham for many years. But eventually, the squire grew into a man, took on the new identity of Nightwing, and left the nest. Batman fought on alone, including a final confrontation with his greatest foe, the Joker. With the Clown Prince of Crime seemingly dead, Batman was able to turn to more personal matters and finally began a romance with Catwoman, who joined him in his war on crime. Soon, Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle were wed, and the mantle of Batman was passed on to Dick Grayson, who shed his Nightwing guise to replace his mentor. The Waynes continued the family legacy further by welcoming a baby boy, Damian.
As Damian grows, Bruce trains his son in the ways of the Batman. When Damian is a teen, he and his parents attend the gala opening of the Batman Museum. Bruce ponders if Damian may one day be featured at the museum. The boy is less than thrilled with the prospect.
Who knows? Someday you may end up in this museum, Damian.
Intimidating much, Dad? Could I finish junior high before you put a cape on me?
If this museum shows me anything, it's that the world will always need a Batman.
But what if I want to be a scientist?
Crime fighting is a science.
What about a race car driver?
The Batmobile is the fastest car on the planet.
Astronaut.
The galaxy is just another neighborhood to patrol for a crime fighter. Isn't that what Green Lantern told you that time?
Cut it out, Dad. Don't map out my life for me, okay?
Damian, why don't you go check out the Hall of Holyisms? It's corny, but it's kind of cool.
He gets that attitude from you.
But he has your heart, Bruce. You know how proud he is of you. Of all of this. But he's young. He needs to figure things out for himself. Without us pushing him.
Their family discussion is interrupted by a series of explosions that rock the building, destroying many of the displays inside, which breaks my heart. The man behind these attacks flies into the building on a strange floating podium. Clad in purple, white face, and green hair, he claims to be the son of the Joker.
Bruce and Selina engage Joker Jr. in combat and are soon joined by the new Batman, a.k.a. Dick Grayson. With the guest of honor present, Joker Jr. proceeds to bring down the house, launching a series of bombs from his podium that destroy what's left of the museum around them. While Batman fights on, Bruce attempts to get Selina and Damian to safety, but the boy is soon separated from his parents by a large wall of debris. The young Joker makes his escape, and Batman grabs Damian and grapples out of the building, dropping him on the street below. As he runs back to save Bruce and Selina, the building explodes.
No!
And so calamity struck the Wayne family once again. And while Gotham was left without its most esteemed citizen and the world, its bravest hero, it was a young boy who would bear the greatest loss.
In the Batcave, Dick tracks Joker Jr. while Damian struggles with his loss.
If I had been the son they wanted me to be, maybe I could have done something. Maybe I could have saved them.
Some things are just destined to happen. For some people, tragedy is inevitable. But tragedy made Bruce Wayne the man he was. It made me who I am.
I don't know if I can live up to the Batman legacy, Dick. I don't know if I want to. If I mess up, people get hurt.
Your dad taught you everything you need to know to protect yourself and others. You just have to believe in yourself enough to use that knowledge. Remember, Damian, there's more to the Batman legacy than being Batman. I should know.
Are you going to stop him?
I'm going to make sure Joker never hurts anyone again.
In downtown Gotham, Joker Jr. has rigged a giant statue of Batman with a cannon full of Joker gas. Batman arrives and the two tussle until the Dark Knight is electrified from behind. His assailant is the original Joker himself, now a broken husk in a souped-up wheelchair. Batman awakens to find himself chained to the statue while the Joker monologues. He knows Batman is the former Nightwing, and that Bruce Wayne was the original. His, quote-unquote, son is just a fan willing to be remade in the Joker's image. He also tells his old foe that he is dying, and he plans to take out the entire Batman legacy with him.
So you killed the Waynes in the name of destroying Batman's legacy.
I figured the old man would just keep passing the torch down, and if I'm ever going to get the last laugh, I need to snuff it out. And tonight, it ends with you, the last of the Batman. My life's work is coming to an end.
Batman is an ideal, not a person. He can't die.
We'll see about that. Goodbye, new Batman. Say hello to the real one when you see him.
Guess you missed the announcement, Joker. There's a new Robin in town, too.
Well, aren't you precious?
As the Joker points his gun at Batman, Damian arrives, clad in the costume of Robin. Batman instructs him to keep the Joker busy while he works on disabling the gas. Robin has a rough time at first, but remembers that he is his father's son. Meanwhile, Batman has freed himself, but the Joker fries him once more with his flying wheelchair. With the heroes down, Joker Jr. wants to flee, but his mentor has a few lessons left for him to learn.
Rule one, good supervillains never leave their heroes alive, dummy. Rule two, countdown clocks at the hacks. Let chaos reign!
The Joker releases the gas as it spews from the mouth of the Batman statue. The young Dark Knight throws an explosive batarang at the statue and beheads it. It lands just a few feet from the Joker and shoots its final blast in his face, causing the madman to laugh uncontrollably and lose his dentures.
The battle over, Batman congratulates his new Robin on a job well done.
Good job, kid. You think you're gonna stick with it?
Yep. Gotham needs a Batman, and Batman needs a Robin.
Young Damian rose above great tragedy and proved that his father lived on through him.
After years of fighting as Robin by Batman's side, an aged Dick Grayson passes the mantle of the Bat to Damian, and he and his son defend a Gotham sky full of flying cars as a futuristic Batman and Robin.
In the present, our narrator is revealed to be none other than Alfred Pennyworth, writing fan fiction in a journal labeled Knights of Tomorrow.
Like all Brave and the Bold episodes, this one has a short vignette before the credits. These usually don't have anything to do with the main story, and this one is no exception. It features the question, undercover on Apocalypse, and it's part of a growing Darkseid subplot, so we just didn't discuss it. Of course, this story is a combination of several future Batman stories in the then-current Batman and Robin series by Grant Morrison, where Dick was Batman and Damian was Robin. But like you were saying, Robin, this Damian is much more likable and much more of a traditional Robin type, even though he's reluctant to have his dad like kind of forcing him to take on the legacy. He comes around, obviously. In the Silver Age, Alfred would often write imaginary stories about Dick becoming Batman too, with Bruce marrying Batwoman Kathy Kane and having a son named Bruce Jr. who becomes Robin too. And they wear Roman numeral twos on their costumes under their symbols.
Oh my gosh.
For real.
Stupid.
They even meet the son of the Joker in one tale.
Does he have a two on him too?
No.
Okay.
These stories were recently reprinted in DC's Greatest Imaginary Stories Volume 2, Batman and Robin, trade paperback. John Byrne's Generation stories borrowed heavily from these tales as well.
I love those. And the Captain America Batman crossover.
Yep. BJ, or Bruce Jr. shows up in that too, yeah. This episode is full of Easter eggs. The entire series is, really, but this one is a treasure trove. I mean, you could just sit there and keep pausing things.
You could.
We see Batman's look progress from the Detective 27 original to the classic gold and silver age look. And Robin goes from his classic costume to a grown-up version of, like, the Robin of Earth 2, like we said. Then off to the disco Nightwing we discussed before.
And Robin goes through that little circular thing.
Yeah, the hoop, Detective number 38, yeah. Awesome. Catwoman is clad in her classic purple dress and green cape. And I don't think that look had ever been adapted into animation before, so that was cool.
It looks good, though.
Yeah,
mm-hmm, it does.
At their wedding, you can see Clark Kent and Lois Lane, Commissioner Gordon, Oliver Queen, who has his goatee here, although he never had it in the series proper, and maybe Dinah Lance beside him. She's a brunette with a choker, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Of course, in the comics, Damian is the son of Batman and Talia, and is a total psycho, so like we said, we prefer this version.
Just a bit. At the wedding, wasn't there Wonder Woman 2, we thought? And
she's at the funeral.
Oh.
We'll get to that, yeah. The Batman Museum is, of course, full of more Easter eggs, both from the comics and past episodes of the series. Did anybody else think maybe that the long-haired Joker may be slightly influenced by the Heath Ledger
look? Yeah, I thought so.
A little bit.
And the way he talked, too.
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit. The flying podium thing was just weird. I never did quite understand why a flying podium.
Well, his hair was sort of like Judge's, you know? Think about it, the slick back with the curls at the end.
I don't know. I think a pogo stick would have made more sense, like a flying pogo stick or something.
Yeah, but then it's going up and down. A podium is, you know.
I guess, but that was just weird. Mm. When we first saw this, I remember being quite shocked that they killed Bruce and Selina.
Right.
I mean, that was, although they killed people on this cartoon, I mean, because.
I mean, that's the thing about the whole Brave and the Bold thing. Because even as lighthearted as it was on the surface, they tackled issues like Bwana Beast, like, you know, all
the
of these.
Patrol.
The Doom Patrol. They tackled heavy stuff. I mean, they really did. I mean, it was, you know, in this episode, that Brave and the Bold, it's not, to me, it's not as good as the Tim verse, you know.
Yeah.
But it's right there.
Right. Me too. Right. It's the next notch down. Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
Like half a notch.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And some episodes of Brave and the Bold are better than, than episodes of Batman the Animated Series, you know.
Well, and I would say, and I mean, I know this is digressing, but I would say Batman Brave and the Bold came out stronger out of the gate than Batman the Animated Series.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, probably so. Yeah, I'd say so. Because Batman, like we said, they had a super strong start on Leather Wings, but then there's some episodes in between when they had some other people. They were trying to, Tim and Radomski and those guys were struggling with some other people that were involved early on that wanted it to be more kiddie and until they got Paul Dini back and they got Alan Burnett, and then they were all able to kind of circle up and say, this is our show,
this
we're doing
is the
it
vision
this way.
They want. Yeah.
Yeah. As Andrew was saying, at the funeral we see Clark, Lois, Ollie Queen, who's now bald, kinda like the Dark Knight Returns. He does have both arms though. And what looks like Black Canary this time, she's got the blonde hair wig. She's got the choker. Also, a very aged Alfred and Jim Gordon. Beside Jim Gordon, you see Barbara Gordon, and you see Diana Prince and Steve Trevor.
I found just this last time
I
watched it.
I never noticed that. Yeah,
because they're on the bottom left corner.
Right. I like the design of the old Joker. He's got like a lazy eye, liver spots, and he's mostly bald. And his little chair is cute too, with the clown face and balloons. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know. Which I liked, their Joker was super Dick Sprang. I mean, he was like dead on Dick Sprang.
Oh, yeah.
The voice was pretty good, too.
Yeah, I liked him, that Jeff Bennett is the Joker. I did, yeah. Damian's Robin suit, like we said, is very close to Tim Drake's
freaking awesome
last pre-New 52 Robin suit, but it's got green highlights on the black parts.
Speaking of suits, when Dick Grayson Batman shows up, that gave me goosebumps. That, I know they just added some highlights in and stuff.
Yeah.
That's like the coolest suit.
Well, he's kind of got the longer ears. He looks more like the Bronze Age Batman, like a Neil Adams kind of, even though he's kind of got the kind of bat highlight shape up above his...
Yeah, but it's more like the Batman and Robin thing with Nightwing. You know, in the Batman and Robin movie?
Yeah.
Like that. It's like that symbol because it goes like this and goes one point up.
That's true. Yeah. You know, as much as I like this episode, even by Brave and the Bold logic, Dick should be dead after he falls from the top of that statue. I was kind of thinking he was. I mean, right. Those things
but
were going.
He could be more armored. But no, because he's got those open places on his suit.
Yeah.
There's not anything underneath.
The end sequence with Damian as future Batman is a recreation of the opening to Batman the Animated Series, which I thought was neat. But you got the mutants from Miller's Dark Knight replacing the gangsters that you see in front of the building when the explosion happens. So, I mean, this episode just, I mean, if you're a fan of Batman and Robin, this was just like a huge love letter to the whole idea of the legacy of both of them. And so I thought it was perfect to cover this one. I kept struggling with what episode to cover of Brave and the Bold. I knew because there's, you could have done this one. You could have done Sidekicks Assemble with where he becomes Nightwing.
Right.
You could have done the Color of Revenge, which is the first one with Robin where they fight Crazy Quilt. But this one was more about the passing of the mantle, the family, the legacy.
Which was awesome.
So, I thought this one was the way to go.
The Chill of the Night and this one are my two favorites.
Yeah.
And the last episode I hate.
Yeah, that's two of my favorites too, definitely. Yeah. So, what did you think?
Oh, you know, it's one of those things when you look at Robin as far as how he relates to Batman, my closing thought on this is, to me, Robin is more reflective of the times that he is portrayed in than Batman even is.
Mm.
He is more, he shows what's going on in society. They change Robin out. They, you know, Batman is always Bruce Wayne, but they change Robin and who his secret identity is to change with the times.
Hmm. That's a good,
that is true.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, cause even Dick Grayson, when, you know, he went to college and, you know, he had run-ins with the counterculture in the late 60s, early 70s. And
then when he's in the Nightwing comics, he runs in with drug dealers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then Damian's more of the violent, you know, kid and, you know, that's, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
That is.
Good. Nice.
Head on.
Nice psychoanalyzing there.
Good job, logic class.
yes. If you want more Robin podcasting, Tom Panarese recently ended his excellent Taking Flight Robin podcast. It's about mostly about Tim and Dick. I have been going through the back catalog of that show, and it's really great. So look for that. That's on the Batman Universe series of podcasts. So if you need a Robin fix, that's a good place to go. Check out the Leyland's episodes on the two covering the 75th anniversary of Robin and the Batman the Lost Years episode we talked about. And as for us, as we record this, it was just Thanksgiving, so that means
yesterday.
Christmas is right around the corner. So we're going to return to the toy box and look at Toys of Christmas Past on the next episode. So we'll see you then. Bye.
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 Holy hole in a donut!
Super Mates is a Franklin and Franken production in association with Bugaloo Enterprises Worldwide. The characters and properties mentioned in this show are copyright their respective holders. Likewise, all audio clips are copyright their holders and no infringement is implied. So please don't sue my mommy and daddy. Emails can be sent to supermatespodcast@gmail.com. Comments can be left at our blog at supermatescomic.blogspot.com. Find us on Facebook by searching for Supermate Podcast. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Supermates, the husband and wife geek cast.
Leaping lumbago! story.
Holy haunted castles, Batman, look!
Holy rusted metal, Batman!
Huh?
You're grown, it's all metal, it's full of holes, you know? Holy!
Oh.
Well, that's it, Robin. You've done it again.